2015 National English Competition for College Students. Level A, Preliminary. Part 1. Listening Comprehension. Section A. In this section, you will hear 5 short conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. One. Hello, this is Lucy's Distribution. Can I help you?
Yes, I need some ice water delivered.
Are you completely out?
No, I have some, but not enough for the long weekend.
Okay, I'll send someone to deliver it for you this Thursday. Well, now I'd like to find out more about your last job. I see you spent almost 5 years at the New York Times. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. To be honest, the first year was quite tough for me. I was really just treated more like an intern. I didn't have many responsibilities, and I found it quite frustrating.
So, what changed?
Well, slowly but surely I proved myself. And the new editor liked me, so he promoted me to features writer. I was responsible for restaurant and food reviews.
Three. Hi, this is Emily in customer service. What can I do for you?
Hi. The bill I received yesterday for my home cable TV service is wrong. I got a bill for $85.
What's your account number?
200508.
Okay. The regular monthly charge should be $65. But the cable TV company charged you an extra $20 because of your late payments for the last 2 months.
Yeah, I remember. Thank you. Four. Where shall I register, please?
Just here. Do you have a registration card?
Yes, here you are.
Thank you. Please register your information here, and I'll make a medical record for you.
Okay. Any charge for the registration?
10 yuan.
Five. Have you thought of moving, Sarah?
We've thought about it, but my husband and I can't afford it right now. The only thing we could afford would be living in the slums, which is something I don't want to do.
Buying a new apartment can be expensive, but there are ways to find a cheaper apartment.
Really?
Yes, and sometimes the city auctions off houses to the community. You'd have to make a quick decision about the offer in a day, but you would definitely save a lot of money.
Section B. In this section, you will hear 2 long conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, read the questions and the four choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. Conversation 1.
Go away!
Aya, open the door.
May I come in? Whose sword is that?
Mine.
Give it to me. I know this maker's mark. This is Mickens' work. Where did you get this? This is no toy. Little lady shouldn't play with swords.
I wasn't playing. And I don't want to be a lady.
Come here. Now, what do you want with this?
It's called Needle.
Oh, a blade with a name. And who are you hoping to skewer with Needle? Your sister? Do you know the first thing about sword fighting?
Sticking with the pointy end.
That's the essence of it.
I was trying to learn. I asked my kids to practice with me. I asked him. It was my fault.
Oh, sweet girl, no, no. You didn't kill the butcher's boy.
I hate them. I hate all of them. The Hound, the Queen and the King, and Joffrey and Sansa.
Sansa was dragged before the King and Queen and asked to call the Prince a liar.
So was I. He is a liar.
Shh, darling, listen to me. Sansa will be married to Joffrey someday. She cannot betray him. She must take his side, even when he's wrong.
But how can you let her marry someone like that?
Look at me. You're a Stark of Winterfell. You know our words.
Winter is coming.
You were born in the long summer. You've never known anything else. But now winter is truly coming. And in the winter, we must protect ourselves. Look after one another. Sansa is your sister.
I don't hate her. Not really.
Conversation 2.
Hi there, I'm Denise Richardson, and this is HowDeanie.com. If you want to learn how to ace a job interview, stay tuned. We're about to talk about it with Maggie Mistel, who's a life purpose and career coach who can be heard regularly on Martha Stewart Living Radio on Sirius. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Denise.
You show up, you're dressed properly, you walk into the interview to meet the interview. What's the first thing you do when you walk in?
I love to smile. And obviously, I think you can tell by that. But I like to make the interviewer just as at ease as I'm trying to be. Because really, this interview is a conversation that you're going to have with this other person who's a human being. And it can be a real icebreaker if you can just be relaxed and at least give yourself a break. Say, hi, how are you? And even try to talk about the weather or some type of other icebreaker that kind of gives everybody a chance to take a deep breath. Because this is an evaluative conversation. And it can be nerve-wracking for both parties.
So the interviewer says to that prospective employee, why do you want to leave your job?
Yes, that's always a great question, isn't it? And you have to be prepared for those key questions, especially why are you moving on? Now, if you're moving on because you can't stand your boss, right, which happens a lot, and we've all been there, you don't want to say that. What you do want to say is that I really need to be in a place where I can be managed and developed and where I can get guidance or mentoring. You really focus on the things that you're looking to get as opposed to all the reasons why you don't have it now.
You know, there are some people who walk into that interview and they walk in a little defensively and because they really need a job and they hear the words, you're overqualified, and they're willing to take a job and do their best at it. How do you handle you're overqualified?
You can say things like, well, I've really thought about that, and if I were in your shoes, I'd be asking the same question. And when I think about it, I can tell you for a fact, I'm looking to downshift. And I know this industry well, and I don't need to be in charge. I've been the person on the totem pole before, and I can do that again. I'm really looking for a place where I can contribute, but where I don't have to be the one who's running the show. And really address those concerns which are behind the overqualified comment.
And they may say, you just don't have enough experience for us.
But for folks just starting out, maybe a new career or college students who've just graduated or even folks out of high school or new to the work world, that's a common problem. So again, I go back to internships are great, any way that you can get some experience on your resume to demonstrate, hey, yeah, I may not be, 10 years in this field, but I can tell you in this experience that I had this summer, I didn't know anything going in, and here's how successful I was. So you want to show situations where, yeah, you went in without a lot of experience, but were still able to succeed. And this is where references can be so helpful as well. Even if you don't have a lot of experience, anybody who can be a great reference for you, even a teacher or a professor or even someone that you volunteered for who can attest to your ability to learn quickly and perform well can be a great asset.
We really like you. How much money are you looking for? It's such a trick question.
It is. And for that question, you definitely want to do your homework. This is one of the best uses for the internet. Salary.com, Indeed.com, Monster, Hotjobs, a lot of them have salary calculators associated with them now. So you can look up the job title in your geographic area and get the range of salaries for that position and find where you would fit based on your level of experience.
Briefly, if the interviewer hasn't brought up the word salary, should you?
Not right away. In the initial conversation, you want to get to know whether or not this job even is a good fit. And I always tell people, become the superstar to this person first. And then you're in a much better place to negotiate salary. And they may even pay more for you because they're like, wow, we can't let Denise go. She's such a fabulous candidate. We were only going to pay this much, but now that we found Denise, we're willing to do more.
Section C. In this section, you will hear 5 short news items. After each item, which will be read only once, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
16. This afternoon, we have identified a case of Ebola in a patient in the USA. Both health ministry and public health authorities are working together to give the best care to the patient and to guarantee the safety of all citizens. Officials said, other nurses and doctors who work with her would be monitored. Meanwhile, an American cameraman infected with Ebola in Liberia has been flown home and admitted to hospital in the United States, the fifth American to return for treatment. Ashoka Mukpo, who was diagnosed early, was taken to a biocontainment center.
More than 130,000 Syrian Kurdish refugees have flooded into Turkey in the past few days as the Islamic State militant group bears down on the Syrian Kurdish town of Kobani. Turkish authorities have clashed with hundreds of Kurdish protesters, many of whom want to cross into Syria to defend fellow Kurds from the onslaught. The militant group, also known as ISIL, released a statement on Monday urging Muslims to kill Westerners whose countries have joined the campaign against it.
According to the European Commission Institute for Energy, just 0.3% of the Saharan desert's intense solar energy can provide Europe with all the electrical power it needs. A company called Ner Energy plans to capture some of it by building a solar plant similar to an Israeli one in the Negev desert that uses heliotropic mirrors. This technology, unlike photovoltaic cells, can generate energy even when the sky is overcast or at night. Thousands of mirrors, spread over 100 square kilometers, will concentrate sunlight to a tower where it heats and melts a special salt.
No team has ever retained the Champions League title since the competition was revamped in 1992. But perhaps, finally, this will be the year. Karim Benzema ensured Real Madrid's place in the last 16 by firing his side to a 1-0 win over Liverpool to make it 4 wins from 4. The winner after Real was made to work hard against a much-changed visiting side. Cristiano Ronaldo, who wasted a number of opportunities, was left frustrated after failing to overturn Raul's Champions League goals record.
A research team in Japan said Friday that it has succeeded in replicating contraction and stretching in a small muscle grown from rat cells, local media reported Friday. The development to be detailed at an international conference in the United States starting Sunday is expected to prove useful in the field of regenerative medicine, Kyoto reported Friday. It could also lead to the development of robots able to move naturally using muscles, said the team leader Soji Takeuchi, a professor at the University of Tokyo.
Section D. In this section, you will hear a short passage. For questions 21 to 30, complete the notes using no more than 3 words for each blank. The passage will be read only once. Remember to write the answers on the answer sheet. Hydroplaning happens when a vehicle moves too quickly along a wet road. A layer of water accumulates under the tires. They lift up and lose traction. The driver loses control. Now, what does NASA have to do with hydroplaning? Here's a historical look at the science story. Hydroplaning is a relatively new phenomenon for humans, given that the combination of high speed and smooth pavement that's necessary has only fairly recently become possible. In fact, it wasn't until 1957 that a tire treadmill study first experimentally demonstrated hydroplaning in action. That study was motivated by airplanes. Hydroplaning had been causing a lot of problems for pilots landing on wet runways. Here's where NASA comes in. NASA scientists wanted to figure out what hydroplaning was all about. So they collected a lot of data and produced a mathematical formula to illustrate how quickly a vehicle could travel on a wet surface before entering hydroplane mode. They published the equation in 1963, along with information about the effects of water depth, paving technique, tire tread, and vehicle weight on hydroplaning risk. This publication offered several important safety tips. For example, use well-treaded, fully inflated tires, and don't slam on the brakes if you skid on wet pavement. These suggestions may sound commonplace, and we now also know that vehicles with anti-lock brakes require slightly different hydroplane handling than those without. However, we can thank those NASA scientists from 50 years ago for getting the word out and helping to keep all drivers on runways and roads safer on rainy days. This is the end of the listening part. Please transfer your answers to the answer sheet.